I want to say something at this time that some of you might not quite agree or like. But I'm not here to pat shoulders or make angels. I'm here to state the facts as they are. Only by facts will you know the truth and what's really going on. First, I want to make an erroneous correction, and that is that the space people, as you have known them through the many speakers and many writings, are actually not, in not any sense of the word, any kind of spooks or spirits. They are human beings like you and I, live as you and I, endure things as you and I, right here on Earth. Remember one thing. Even the great book tells you in Genesis that at some time in the early days that people came from out of space, took unto themselves the daughters of men and had children by them, which were of renown. They had to be flesh and blood at that time as they are today. And unless we do straighten this thing out, the respect that these people deserve for coming and trying to help us out of the mess we're in is not going to do us or them any good. You will find that science have accepted them if you knew the actual truth. And so did the governments, the majority of them are the world. I know because I met with those governments when I made a trip around the world. I met near with every official of each government I visited, or nation, of one stand or another. If it was not a president of the nation, I met the next man. As you all are aware, that I have met with the Queen, Juliana. It was not my seeking of it. It was her request. She asked for 45 minutes, 2 hours really took place, and probably longer would have taken place had I not had the lecture for that afternoon in Hague. These people do not make fun of these things. They are rulers of nations. They have to be on factual grounds. They can't be on supposition or some mystical presentation. They must be on solid ground. Unless there is something solid, something that is where we might be helped by the individuals that come our way, or something that might even be feared by such an individual that come our way, these people must be fully alerted to defend their nations. Only a week ago or so, I was viewing on Channel 13 in Los Angeles a picture that was presented through the latest excavation. I don't remember the name of the place, but it was somewhere between old Greece and present Egypt. It took place, they claim, maybe 5 or 20,000 years ago. They don't know yet. But here they uncover through excavation a Venetian temple where the Venetians at one time landed here as physical beings and built this temple to the honor of their race and their planet. how long that temple stood, and these people remained on earth and glorifying this temple by going to it and worshiping, that is not yet known. But it stood for quite some time when this excavation took place, which is recently. Portion of that temple still is intact. But it also showed why they left. For the Jupiterians came down from Jupiter and destroyed the Venetian temple, only left what has now been uncovered, and built on top of it almost a temple to the Jupiter god of Jupiter. So there was a war between the two. Now, when such evidence begins to show, don't you think it is wise for governments like ours and others to be more or less on the alert that everything that comes out of space is not an angel? If it happened then, it could happen today. So you can't blame your governments for being on alert. That's what you got them for. That's what you're paying taxes for, to defend you and your life against anyone. So be sensible. And that's what all governments are concerned with. No matter where I have talked around the world, that was their concern. For instance, before I left, this is a very odd one, but you can't blame these people for thinking that way or feeling that way. I lectured in Seattle before I left for the World's Tour. After the lecture, a military man from one of the air bases come up to me, and Mr. Honey, that you have met last fall, was with me on that trip at that time. He can tell you that. He shook my hand, and he says, if everybody would present the case as you do, this mystery would be over. And I said then to him, I says, would you shoot at these people as they have been reported being shot at? He says, of course I will. I said, supposing that a god was coming in that ship our way, and he proclaimed himself as God, warning us that it was him in that ship coming our way, would you then shoot? Of course I'd shoot. Any damn fool can say I'm God, but prove it. After all, we have the nation to defend. Anybody can play possum and then catch you asleep. That's the attitude of most of your defenders of the world, whether it be of one nation or that of another. I have learned that. And they have a perfect right to be so, because if they weren't, you'd probably be kicking. Because somebody may catch you at night sleeping and drop something on your head and your family is gone. And where was our military? Where was our watchers? That we paid the taxes to keep them going. You'd be complaining then that way. No, this is far more serious than they realize. It's really serious. True that these people so far have not harmed the hair on no one's head ever since they have appeared, and that began in 46, really. In fact, I myself did not know what I caught in 38. Caught a spaceship through my telescope in 38, didn't even know it. I send that picture to Caltech in Pasadena. They sent it to Harvard, then everywhere else. Nobody knew what it was. It was this side of the moon. So they were even then moving. Besides, what is happening in this world is really happening for the world of the people, not for just a handful of people here and there that profess themselves to be experts on the situation. There is no such a thing as experts. This is a new thing. We haven't learned anything about them as yet. So who could say they're an expert at it? Let's face the facts. So we might say here then that these people coming our way is a strange situation to us. True that they are enlightening us on some things, but they're not enlightening any one little group. They want to enlighten the world of 3 billion people. They're all involved. You might think it's amazing when I lectured in Rome and I had 40 cardinals from the Vatican sitting in the first two rows in their garb and all. Why did they appear? Why don't they come to your lecture? Soon as you put a label up there of some mystical nature, they're going to stay away. 99% of humanity is. And if you want to help yourself, you have to help the 99%. You have to get the world opinion backing it up. And you can't leave them out. But I didn't have no label. I lectured as any lecture would on any subject involving no religion, nothing. As a result, they came out. And that was everywhere. When I got through, they all shook my hand and thanked me for the message I had given them. They were tickled to death to get what I given them. They already knew quite a bit. Now, that is the situation we have been placed in. Those of you that are sincere and desirous to better this world, to eliminate the potential of annihilation of this civilization, then that is your duty. That's what you should be doing. Open the door to the world, not to the few, and open them on a basis that the world today understands, not on some mystical basis. If your child, your boy or girl in these days, would go to a university to study for an engineer or some other type of profession in the line of the present day, would that child be requested to give up its fate, whatever that fate may be? Of course not. So this program is the same thing. You're studying science. You study scientific, you might say, growth. And even all science that we call science are not yet in it as they should be. The blessings that we have already been granted are more than you can number. Already, you are sitting here in presence of me only because the space people have made it possible. You ask, why don't they appear here? Why don't they come and see me? And so on and so forth. If they have to oblige everybody that is asking for their presence, they wouldn't have not been able to do what they have done. I can quote to you at least 6 minor wars that could have flared up into a major war. We would not have been here today had it been developed into an atomic one. That they were responsible for putting the fire out. There are many other things. They are actually responsible today for us getting into outer space. Well, let me start with that procedure for a moment. When they first appeared on the scene, men in those days did not realize that a human being with a human body like yours and mine could go through space, travel space. We limited ourselves on the basis of the past teachings from various science or various phases of science. But we also acknowledged, even though there were many perversions of truth, claiming these men to be vegetable men, spirits, and what not, even bees, like Gerald Hurd put out, operating these ships. But regardless what the form was, what they looked like, there was one big challenge to our intelligence. For these fellas, whoever they were, or whatever they looked like, they were maneuvering in those ships above our heads in such a manner that to us was wholly impossible to do for man of this world. So even the greatest skeptics on the face of the earth acknowledge that, and they still do acknowledge it. So they figured. Egotistically, maybe, but they figured, well, if someone up there, some sort of an intelligence must be in those forms that operate these ships beyond our understanding, beyond what we think we can do, then they're challenging our understanding, and we're going to see what we can do, what they can do, we should be able to do. As a result, in 1958, on July the 29th, Eisenhower, at that time president, signed the bill, made the spacecraft program known, at that time became a legal procedure, which is now known as the NASA program, which is shooting out all these probes out there today. That's what the space people done for us. What does that mean? That means one thing, that if we do stay away from present conflict and not get into a major war over Berlin and settle that condition one way or another, give us 2 more years and we got a good chance to never have another war on Earth for the next 10,000 years maybe. An economy so solid that they'll never have to go to war to support it by war, as past economies have been. It's not so long ago that you and I have been listening to Mr. Truman when he put us into the Korean War. At that time, before we got into it, they were saying we had a business depression or recession. As a result, we went to war. Sacrificed many of our young men, your sons, and daughters, that a dollar may be stabilized. And so back in history you go, up to the present moment, wars have been fought on those grounds. Killing to live. Millions die that few might live. Is that Christian-like? Is that spiritual-like? Is that anything like human should be? Not at all. But we have no other way. That's the system of the world. It's not one government, but all of them. There is no other way. Man who finds himself and claims himself to be smart and wise. What is he? If he had been, he wouldn't be tangled up in the affairs like he is today, that's ready to destroy him, wipe him off of the earth. And surely the religious groups of the world have done no good. They are the major bodies that carry quite a big stick, because almost everybody belongs to some sort of religious group. And why they didn't do it? Because they failed to live what they preach. So as a result, we are bringing the hell upon our own heads into a temple of God, which is this world, for what God created. And if God is the holy of the holies, then that creation is just as holy as he is. That's the difference between us and our way of thinking and that of the Venusians or any other planetarians of our own system. They not only think that way, but they live that way, which we do not. We give a lot of lip service, but no living action. Even what they have given us in the form of better understanding of life itself, have any of us applied it? We still are looking, why don't they come into our circle? Why don't they come and knock on my door? Why don't they take me for a ride? That's all we're interested in, instead of the things they have granted to us, by which we could save ourselves, save the civilization. On top of that, we close it off, that the rest of the world cannot hear anything about it, because we put a label of contrary to all the other faiths, when the thing is universal. Yet you claim to be universal, why aren't you then? Let's get down to real facts of the situation. When I stated that give us 2 more years and the wars may be never again be known on Earth, why? I have introduced this kind of a program around the world. That's what I lectured on when I was around the world. I had mentioned my contact and a few things like that, that's true. But I didn't stay long on it. The major job was what I had to do there that brought us up to the present day. That was what's counting, and that's what does count. What is so important about the outer space program, you may say? How is that going to save our civilization? I told you, all wars been fought on sagging economy. Destruction and reconstruction. Destroy first and then rebuild. Next 10, 15, 20 years, when it takes time to rebuild that which you destroyed, you'll have to start another one over because you have, again, sagging economy. That's been going on. If you mark your time and cycles as it comes along, you can see how it happened. Well, we're about that place now, 16 years ago, when the war ended. We have been working feverishly, day and night, manufacturing things. We have overstocked the world already. Many warehouses are loaded, filled, that you and I can't buy. Last year, over 1 million cars haven't sold at the end of the year. Okay. In the meantime, we only kept our factories going by the very idea of war. Let us say now that all of a sudden we sign peace. And we shut down all the war plans by discharging all the military men. They all come home, they have to work if they're going to live and eat and sleep. The war plants that today operate for the purpose of defense will lay off all the people that are in them today. The commercial airlines, the planes they buy would be very little. What are you going to have then? And that's not only in your nation, it's all over the world the same. Where are you going to put those people to work? So the war plants must be going. If you and the next fella and I are going to work and live like we're accustomed to. All right. Eventually, that must lead to a war. So the space program comes in here to save our necks. And the brothers have instituted that one. What does it mean? It means this. Every ship that will be built on this Earth, like our submarines have been, like our aircraft have been, like our battle wagons have been, and they can't build them in a day. It takes weeks and months and years sometimes to build one of them. The spacecraft will take as much time. Besides, the knowledge that would be learned, which would be new knowledge that we never had before, that go into this spacecraft, that will be moving out towards our sister planets as they are moving our way. Will employ even more people than they are employed today. And the whole world is being guided by one target. whole world is going to be helping to get there. What a great opportunity for solidifying the humanity of this world instead of living as strangers, which they have been doing through the ages, of prejudices and everything else. All have the same target. Switzerland may not make a ship, but she might make a fine spring that's in this watch that goes into the one of the instruments that that ship will carry. Every nation will have some part to play. Unification of mankind on Earth for the first time in the history of civilization on this Earth, at least our type. Plus, the work, the knowledge, learning instead of killing. An economy like you have never had before. For brass, copper, aluminum, everything that you have today in the way of minerals will go into those ships. Your own son, that might be only 6, 7 years old, be piloting in one of them one day, or your daughter might be a stewardess on one of them. We're coming to that day if we don't go crazy and blow ourselves off this earth by the coming war if we touch the wrong button. That's the future we can face. All right? Even from this angle, we are the only planet in our system that have not yet found a way of getting out there. While the others have, or they wouldn't be coming to us in their spacecraft. To give us a spacecraft would be false. We must learn that our own way. We'd be stepping on our economy. It wouldn't do us no much good. We better build them here to stabilize our economy and as well as learning and building of them. Every inch of the way that we move into space from there on, we will learn something where a need of a new type of instrument is necessary to go further. That will have to be made here. And since space is unlimited, there is no one that can tell you there's going to be a stopping point somewhere. So it's easy to say, once you start in that field and get it going proper, you eliminate the struggle from the earth. The thought of war will be eliminated, and people be looking for the next step, like pioneers into the future, like pioneers from the east to the west. What's up there? What benefits? You can see the money that is involved in this if you want to speak of money. You see a man wheeling a wheelbarrow down the street, rolling one, and you immediately get an idea somebody made a dollar on that. But you look into the blue, and there you don't see that dollar or wheelbarrows moving. So you say, how can we make dollars into going out of space? There's more dollars and more wealth into going to outer space as far as production and labor is concerned than they have ever been on Earth once you get out there. Besides, you'll be thousands of years exploring just our own system. Once you have explored that, you have already learned how well you can travel through space in comfort. You will be exploring other systems. Now, I mentioned that these people got spaceships of their own. We haven't. Yet let me tell you, we are not the poorest in the cosmos. We maybe are somewhere in probably the 20th grade, 19 grades below us, we say, just for sake of illustration. 19 grades below us are people that are worse in mentality and the behaviorism than we are, and we're bad enough because we're fighting each other. Nothing stops them from coming our way if they want to. Read history, and you will find there have been wars of space, in space, between systems. As they have been, they can't be again. And we're the open gate to our system while the others are all in a defense line, able to defend themselves because they have ships they have developed to defend their own. So even if we were attacked, they couldn't leave there. As soon as they left there, they left the gap and they go through there. Just like you say, well, I've got a fence down here. Nobody can cross it. But if you take this fence up to put it over here, then you've got an opening here. You better make that fence complete. But that's another reason why we should build spaceships and get out into space too. There is so much to this, I'm telling you, my friends. And it's all scientific. And it's happening in our time. What do you think your great-grandfather would give to be here today seeing these things happening? Listening to a radio, to a TV, hearing of a man, human being of this earth, born as you and I upon it, orbiting the earth 17 times and coming back safely back to earth. Or still better, when the first ship starts leaving this world, either for the moon or for planet Venus. What a great revelation, what a great excitement, what a great conversion of 3 billion people in, we may say, if it takes them 3 days to get there, in 3 days' time. For you and I are trying to do it in all these years and haven't even scratched the surface of it. One man in a spacecraft of our own making, heading for Venus, in steady contact with the Earth, through the instruments. All the radios and TVs are tuned to these. They be listening to them as it ventures into the unknown, only to become known. He'll report. Sure, some of the stuff may be cut off on you. But the majority, most of it, will be given to you directly. Some of it be of military value or of a shocking type of condition that might affect the public mind. They might be kept out. But the minor things, or the majority of it, will be given. Then here he's landing on, say, Venus. Now he's not sure that he's going to land in the city of Venus. It is not sure that he's going to land anywhere where he might meet a civilized human being. But he's going to land. He might land in the jungles of Venus. He might run across what we call a savage of Venus. They are there. Same as they are anywhere. There are various developments of human beings on our planets. All right? He will report that. Whatever he finds or wherever he lands, he will report that to us. We'll be listening. On his way back, starting back through this earth, he will be broadcasting all the way down the line. Just imagine now yourself. All the peoples of the earth, the people that haven't got a radio, the people that haven't got a TV, will gather in great crowds here and everywhere to hear his voice. The world will be converted just like that. For all your missionary work of any kind would never convert them in that short period of time. Because you haven't even converted the people today. 2,000 years ago, Jesus left the law by which men should live. And we haven't yet lived it. We talk a lot about it, but never live it. Or this world would not be in the shape it's in. Or this humanity. So you see what blessings they are ahead of us if we keep our heads cool and don't mystify the thing, but put it on a factual basis where people will understand, even a child can understand. For that child is a tomorrow's generation. He has to face those conditions. He will be the one that will be enjoying the visits to those planets and back and forth. No, this is purely scientific. I have nothing against any group of people on this face of the earth, be it spiritualist, occultist, Catholic, Protestant, or what you call. You have a right to believe what you want to believe. But don't mix your belief with that which could be the best friend that you've got, which is you call material or practical, by which people will have to live from here on. Be sensible. You want those goods, then put it out in a good way, that all of them may really taste of the same cake, benefit from the same fruits. No, this thing is well accepted by all the people of this world of higher intelligence, let us put it that way. For everywhere I went, the officials of each government didn't make fun of it. Like in Karachi, for instance, at Pakistan, the officials there I dined with, and they thought we were foolish people to make such a fuss over this, what is happening above our heads, and to be frightened as we have been in many cases. These ships land here every now and then, not very often, but when they do, the pilots of those ships and the occupants of them come right into the dining room when we dine with them. They're human beings like you and I. Not spirits. Highly intelligent. That's Pakistan. In India, the same answer I got. In Singapore, the same answer. In Bangkok, the same answer. In New Zealand, the government brought out all the support I needed. Screens, if I needed screens, projectors, operators for them, and all of that. Perfect cooperation. We turned in small towns from 300 to 700 people a night. In big cities like Wellington and others, we've turned away from 3,000 to 5,000 people a night. We had mics outside, everything. The interest is there. All the people want to know. But don't forget, I did not hang out a label that I was sponsored by a certain mystical group or some other group, Catholic or the Protestant. I was a freelancer for all mankind alike. No religion, no politics involved. And the people turned out. And actually, there were all kinds of people there of different denominations. But they wanted to hear. The same thing happened in Australia. The same thing happened wherever I lectured. Like I told you in Rome, all those cardinals. And in England, the Queen had to be with her kids because they had mumps. I was there three times. You know, appeared. The Prince was running around somewhere, around the Latin American countries and so forth. So he wasn't there. On the day that I came into London, was ready to take a plane out of there for Holland. That's when he came in, I was leaving. Even if he had asked me to stay, I wouldn't have stayed. Because my time was such, I had to follow the time, the schedule. But had he been there, the chances are the squabble that went on over Queen Juliana, because she had been given 2 hours, would have not taken probably place. And Queen Juliana would have not been heard about, because the Queen of England is always heard about. But the poor Queen Juliana and others are never heard. This time she stole the show of the world. And the Queen of England was not heard at all. But all of these people, regardless, the higher you got, like a queen, and from there down, the more they listened to you, the more they told you they knew about these things. They just want confirmation on some of the points that they did not have. That's all. But there isn't a government in the world today, small or big, that had not been visited by the space people of one planet or another. I can guarantee you that. And there is not a major government in the world today that hasn't got one or more space person working within the government. When I met Cramp, he wrote that Gravity and Saucer book. He's a scientist, British scientist. He was working on a saucer then for the British government. And he's still working on it. When I met him, he told me himself that there were several of them working right there. And I could take that man's word. He was honest in general in every way. He has never deviated from the line. Then I finally met one. They even brought to me sketches in Britain of spacesuits, 12 different kinds, why they didn't work, why they were choking their men when they put them into them. I finally told them to solve the problem. Why? All right? In London itself, I had 3 hours with the Minister of Defense. Without portfolio. And every place I went, those men listened and listened carefully. They didn't make fun of the situation. Not at all. They know that the papers, the press doesn't do justice, and they don't even care what the press says. When I was on BBC Panorama, which 9 million people listen to, with Patrick Moore, who's now in visiting in Mexico and became quite a big fella in London since I left, he tried to discredit me every which way. Well, he didn't do it. Even a lady up there, because they're all ladies in England, you know, even a lady up there that would cut my throat from ear to ear and spit in my face and like it, laugh over it, that hated me that much, a reporter, finally come out with a little article, have it home, and says, Mr. Adamski went by sheer dignity. Poor Patrick Moore had to take 2 months leave of absence because the public went against the BBC in that procedure. No, the people want to know, but you got to present it the way they want to know it. And the more of them that know, the greater the force you have behind the things you want to see come through. So it's a folly for anybody to jump around and put mysticism into something that is not mystifying at all, and thereby keeping the masses of people, which would be the power to put the thing over that you try to put over. Be sensible. God has given you a brain, a sense. At least use horse sense. And put this thing in the place where it belongs. And I'll assure you, there's not a paper in San Francisco or anywhere else, or a TV or a radio, that when you got something to present to the people of this world, that they won't back you up.